story of Jesus. It is the lead-in music for Oliver B. Green's old radio broadcast, and it's just welcome to the Gospel Hour, Dr. Oliver B. Green. And he had a voice, and so Oliver B. Green, I can't remember what happened to him, but anyhow, he got to where he recorded his shows up in the a tower, an upper room of his house on a property in Greenville, South Carolina, I believe. Green and Greenville is how I keep it together. But what a treasure, and just wrote a lot of books. He's written a lot of books, and just loved the Lord and hated the devil, and just a good, great teacher, but gravelly voice, and just fun. People like that are fun to listen to. I mean, you know, people have an interesting sound, and definitely a great Christian, great leader. We're in Genesis chapter 1 tonight. Genesis chapter 1, we're continuing on. I was telling gave the folks that are visiting this morning a little rundown where we're at, and as far as services went, in connection with scriptures, where we've been. And so we've been working in Hebrews there on Wednesday night. And then Sunday night, so we're working in Genesis. We want to make sure that we're hitting our foundations, especially in a crazy, crazy, nutty day, and it's always been, always will be, to understand what God has done, and that what people think that they can take the credit for changing things, whatever. So, Ben, you didn't originate any of these things. You have no ability to decide who can move what around and say what is what, because it belongs to God. And we want to see that tonight. And you want to have foundations. You want our young people to really understand that. You know, for people that don't, I mean, there's some crazy things. I just tell my kids, I said, look, what do you think about this? You know, well, it's like a discussion thing, you know. It's like, is someone getting old enough? All of my kids are opinionated, man. And it's like, I just hope they're the right opinions, you know. That's what it is. You don't want them to say the wrong thing, but opinionated's fine. We're listening to an audio book coming in tonight. We've been working on a book, and that's one of the secrets to the long drives up here. So get the old audio books and listen. You know, you can listen to a lot of stuff when you're not staring at what God made. But anyways, the author said something interesting. He said, I think it was college, was it not college? Students, he said, the professor said that he said, the best students are the ones that don't quite believe the professor. The ones that don't quite believe everything. You know, he said, you have some that just, they believe everything, but they never think for themselves. They never think. And said, the ones that question, and they're always trying to, and it's not that they're against, it's just they have the inquisitive minds that think, oh, is that the only place that works out? And, you know, most college people today, they don't want you to think. They want you to fall in line, you know, fall in line. There's poor kids, man. Their grades just tanking because they believe the wrong thing. They're tanking because of that. They go through other social stuff and they say, oh, you're part of this group. Oh, your grade is it? It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. It's horrible. I mean, I went to a public university, but I never had to. I mean, you knew those kinds of things were there a little bit, but it was definitely in some departments were heavy that way. In ours, it was kind of like cut and dried. It wasn't a big deal. But anyhow, we want to make sure our kids get a good foundation in these things, especially obtaining to creation and God's plan and how God set things forth. We finished around verse 26 last time we were in Genesis 1. We're going to start there tonight, and then we're going to go from here. We're going to jump over to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to talk about the part of us that's made in the image of God, and kind of there's a handful of messages in there that I would preach, but we're going to look at three parts of the Godhead. We're not going to spend a ton of time. This isn't an exhaustive study of the Trinity or anything like that, but we want to help see what this talks about, and then understanding us. Part of our success in life is just understanding yourself, knowing about yourself and why you how you work and how you work with others, and then understanding other people and understanding some of the things that could either cause you not to work well with them or to work exceptionally well, or why somebody hurts or some of these things. We want to look at that. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in here in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Father, thank you for your grace to us. It is Brother Steve prayed, Lord. Thank you for the sunshine. Lord, it's beautiful weather you give us, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you do for us. This is your world, your creation. We're a part of it. And Father, we just ask that you'd help us as we lift you up tonight in preaching. We do thank you for the opportunity to sing tonight. We thank you for our guests tonight, Lord. We pray that you bless them. We ask that you'd just watch over and work in hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And God said, verse 26, chapter 1 is full of things that God did, and it reflects that in the writing. God created, God saw, God said, God said, God said, God made, God set, and God said. I have them all underlined. You just go through there and you really see it. This book's about what God did. It's not about what we did. You're reading about what God did. You don't want to steal the credit from God. You take it up with Him, and imagine you'll be in line a long time. God said, let us make man in our image. So we have an us and an our, O-U-R, in verse number 26, which would make you believe there's more than one person there. I said, well, God is just God. He's just God, and it wouldn't there just be one person there? But we know this, you read through the Bible, that we have God the Father, and we have God the Son, Jesus, and we have God the Holy Spirit of God working to create. And they always work together. There isn't huge passages and swaths of Scripture that have them all three doing these things. But you will see when you look where they are talked about, salvation, they all work together. We have the Father does the drawing. Jesus did the dying. The Holy Spirit of God does the sealing and does the indwelling. I mean, they all work together. And so God says to the that together, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And that's a huge thing when it comes to people. You'll talk to some people and they're discouraged about how they are physically. They're discouraged with what they are. And it's sometimes confused. I mean, think about it, right? Think about a little kid growing up today and a kindergarten teacher saying, well, what do you think you are? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, my kids, they wake up in the morning, like hot lunch or cold lunch. Well, come on, I gotta start building here. What do you want? Well, I don't know. And what do you want? This and that. And okay, I want this or I want that. Okay, good. I mean, you're really going to entrust a little kid with understanding? I mean, it's nuts. It's craziness. But they're going to grow up and, you know, 10, 15 years where you have this bunch of young people that are now confused teenagers. I mean, teenage years are tough anyways. They're just tough as they are. Bodies changing, hormones, all these kinds of things, and you go through these things, it's like, man, what a deal. So having something as a guide in understanding how and what God made us for and to do, super important, super important. He made us after His image. The Bible says, after our likeness, so we're made after His likeness. I've yet to see a man or learn of a man that's ever made another man by picking up dirt. Verse 7 of chapter 2, breathing in it and having a man walk out of that dirt pile. Or a woman, for that matter. God's the only one that does that. He's the only one, so He is the authority on these things. Verse number 26 says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the first 25 verses, we've gone through the things that God has made, the order that He's made them. He's created these things. He's looked at them. He's called them good things that are living. He's put the seed of those things back in them. So when they reproduce after their kind. Those are the words that we have here to look at. And we see that He's done these things. Then He's going to take man. He's going to place man over these things to be a steward of the creation. Now, some people look at Him and they go, oh, dominance, dominator. You're just going to just tear the world apart and use it for your benefit. You're going to open up the bowels of the earth and take all the oil and the minerals out and throw the rest of the... No. No. I wish everybody could go. We could all go to the North Slope and see where Brother Steve works. You know, we'd be there for about 2 seconds at minus 50 and be like, we're out. But now to the Gulf of Mexico to see how they do oil. You know, go down where it's warm. But we look and we see, wow, there's not dead animals everywhere. Well, how about that? The fish aren't all belly up. How about that? We understand. We like animals. I mean, think about it. Think about it, right? A lot of those guys work in the oil field. They like to hunt too. So if their job destroyed all their targets that they would want to pursue during hunting season and killed all the fish they'd want to catch during fishing, well, they think like, this is kind of a bummer, man. We're working, but we're just destroying all the things that we like to do when we're not working. This isn't so good. And that's just a simple redneck way of thinking about it, right? I mean, we've come a long ways. I mean, there has been spots where it's like, look, we're going to stick it down in the middle of this river. And now, yeah, there aren't fish runs where there used to be. Yes, but we've learned from those things. So it isn't like it was back in the 30s and the 40s, all these things, the environmentalists think, oh man, if we do this, we're going to destroy everything. No, God asks us to be stewards. You get through their head that all that oil in the ground come from plants that have been broken down, things that have decayed from the flood and all those things. Oh no, it's just always been, no, I don't think so. God stuck it in there for us to use. He put all the plants in there for use. Read chapter 1. It was all meat for us to eat. If for the animals, all of them is what it's for, according to God's plan. Sit at home and make all this up. It's according to God's plan. All right, so three parts. We're gonna come right back here, but I want to jump over to 1 Thessalonians 5 because it's one of the best passages here for this three-part being that we see in Scripture. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23. We'll park the bus there for a few minutes. Speaking of buses, I see the tour buses out practicing and getting ready. It'll be kind of interesting to see what shakes out this spring. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23. Chapter 5 is just a great chapter on teaching our Christian living. But verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Okay, holy. I mean, it's all parts here. Then we're going to see him. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Genesis 1 and 26, we're made after God's image and after his likeness, right? So when we see the Lord Jesus, he's not going to be 20 feet tall, and he's going to look like us. He's going to look like a Jew. He's going to look like us. He's going to look like he's been on a cross. He's going to look like that. The scars he kept, those different things, we can don't have time to go look at those things tonight. But he's not going to be a glowing ball. He's going to look like us. He's going to look like a person. Why is that? Because that's the way God set it up. He made us to look like him. He didn't make himself to look like us. We're made after his image. As that, he said, we're in three parts. We have and this is the important part about learning about yourself. You have a spirit. You have a soul. And you have a body. The spiritual part of us, or our spirit, now, the parts that can get confusing in Scripture says we have a spirit, but then there's lots of spirits in the Bible. And those spirits can influence your spirit and can influence your soul. Your soul is your emotional part. It's kind of like the stamp of who you are. I mean, you get a blend of emotions. People are interesting. We're listening to this book called Good to Great, and it's going through this group of people, researchers. They took, I can't remember now, if it's 15 companies, I think it was 15. They weeded through 15 companies, and they wanted to look at, or maybe it was 10 companies. They're looking at 15 years of the company's business, and then where it hit a turning point, and then it beat the stock market average by at least three times in worth, in the yearly worth and gain. And so they sorted through all these businesses, found these 15 companies, and they're looking at the what caused it to go up, like what created this change. And you just ask people about, well, what do you think? Well, they got dynamic leadership. They got to have great leaders, and they got to have these. And we just finished coming in here tonight talking about the first leader CEO of this company, and this is back in the 40s, paper products, Kimberly Clark, who owns Kleenex and Huggies and all these. And it's just talking about, I mean, paper products now, him making the decision to sell all the paper mills in the company. And you think, well, if you're a paper company, why would you get rid of the paper mills? And he had gone through cancer, And he said, one thing I learned in cancer is that you have to come to the place in your mind, if you had cancer, say, in your arm, that you would be willing to cut your arm off to live. He said, I came to that conclusion. I wanted to live. Doctors told me he's going to live a year. He would go from, who was it, Minnesota? Go from Minnesota to Houston. I imagine it was MD Anderson. But he'd go down there to get radiation back in the day. Drive back every week. He'd commute down and get his radiation. Doctor said, you're going to live a year. He lived 25 years, continued to be the CEO of this company for 20 of those years. And not a strong personality. Not a loud person. The New York Times, I mean, people would, they did an interview on him, and he's pretty boring guy, quiet guy. Super humble. One of the secrets of success that it was talking about was, hey, you can get a lot of things done when you don't care who gets the credit for doing the things. And we see that, try to teach that to kids in football in the fall. It's like, look, it's not about you, it's about us, it's about everybody. He said, don't worry about the credit. We'll get there together. It's not going to work. Anyways, you think that everybody, it's a pattern. You got to have this so people are looking at it. No. Just have to have the principles. We're all made different. We're all made so different. The spirit of somebody, you may be different than the spirit of the person next to you. The people go to school with or say, what's the difference? What's different about them? Well, one could be that their spirit is easily influenced by these other spirits. And we see them in the Bible. We talk about it. We talk about spirit. We talk about greed. We talk about love. We talk about giving. We talk about kindness. These are spirits that come in. Some are good. Some aren't so good. Our soul reflects these things, and our soul is where our emotions are, and we have to know that when we deal with somebody. Spirits are like clouds, and I really liken them to clouds because it gives you a good picture of what it's like. There are some clouds that are like, okay, there's a cloud, but there's nothing a whole lot to it. White cloud, it's going by in the sky, there it is. But you see this dark cloud coming? It's full of water, and you're like, oh man, it's going to rain. It's going to rain right now. And sometimes you can see the water falling from it as it hits the hill and it's running. And you have to adjust. But if things are going to dump, it's going to lift. And I don't want, in my life, one of those dark clouds sitting on me, right? Dismiss it and have it go so it doesn't influence that one-third part of me, which is my spirit side. Because my body's going to reflect those things that are going on in my spirit and my soul. That's what you see. That's what we see. We talk about, whenever I talk about, somebody with skin on, we're talking about your flesh, what we see. We can't look into each other's hearts, but we can tell by our countenance, by what's going on the outside, the things that you're saying, some of the things that you're dealing with. When you see somebody crying, you say, well, that's just not typical. Not everybody's crying all the time. So they're dealing with something. Could be something emotional, something that's going on in the soul. Could be a big thing, could be something, a spiritual thing that's affecting their spirits. But know this, that God's made us in three parts. Our spiritual part's the part that talks to God. It's the part in it. It's just dead as a hammer. Dead as a hammer. Now our bodies are dying as soon as they're made. That is because of sin. And I mean, we're made, and then we start to breaking down. It's just how we're set up to be. Adam and Eve weren't set up to be like that. And when I look at just from the, from my science side when I was in school, and I'd look and I'd say, well, how, man, like Genesis, some of the people live to be old. They live to be live a long time. And what was being 500 like? What was being 600 like? Were they geriatric at 100 and then they had to spend the next 600 broke? Or were they like good until 700 and then they were starting to see a decline? I had to slow down a little bit. It boggles the mind. I mean, it's crazy. Then think about how many people would be on the world, on the planet today if people lived to be 500. But it'd be insane. But each time God would do a dispensation, break that thing down. Finally, we got to a 3 score and 10. He says, that's what you're going to live. That's what you're going to make. So our body's breaking down. Our spirit needs to be made alive. When we trust Jesus Christ, this is the part of us that's made alive. And that's the part of us that can communicate with God. It's the part. That's why you can know for sure that you have salvation. And that's why you have to totally dismiss all things done in the flesh when it comes to salvation. Well, I did this. And I, No. It's a spiritual connection. God speaks to you. God speaks to you and in your spirit, and you know, I'm a sinner. I will spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell, because the Bible says that. I know that. And when you trust Christ and the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, He changes you and makes you different. I wish I could explain that to people, or, you know, you try to tell people about it. It's just, even being saved for a long time, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. Because it's not like the checks you do on your car. You know, fluid level, good, it's there. This, good, there. It's like, how can you tell if the Spirit speaks to you? How do I know when God's talking to me and it's not me talking to me, right? Learning how not to run on your emotions is a big thing. It's big. Oh, I feel good about it. I'm going to go do this. Well, you're excited about it. That's great. That's wonderful. Let's give it some time and see if you're still excited about it here. You know, a day goes by and, hey, what happened? Oh, I'm off that now. I'm on to something else. Okay, that's probably an emotional thing. You know, the soul got stirred up about it and the body was like, what are we doing? We're going to do this. You're like, oh, okay. When it's the Lord, it's just like this continual, He'll be there because He wants His way. The prophet called in the Old Testament, still small voice. Said, it just speaks to him, just still there. It's like, man, I need to go wait down right there. What are you doing? What are you up to? What are you doing for us? So we have these three parts. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and continue. So God has made us in His image. He's made us with these three parts, the body, our spirit, our soul, and our body. Now we do make a point about those three being in order. If people seek to fulfill the needs of the body first and think about the needs of the soul and the spirit second and third, you'll get things mixed up in life. Say, well, my body wants this. How are people stuck in addictions that they can't get free of? Well, they listen to the body. And the soul's not helping, right? And the spirit's non-existent. You get that thing flipped around and you come in from the spiritual side and you tell the body, no, I'm in control of you. It's weird. I mean, your body works against you sometimes. You think, hey, you're my body. I'm in control. And Paul, he would say, I'd have myself under subjection and all those things. It's hard. It's hard passing the cookie bucket some days. And you're like, man, there's something in there, in here, that wants to reach in there and put something that's in there in here. I wasn't even thinking about it till I walked past it. Lord, help it be empty, but you know it's not because you just filled it. You're just like, man, and your body works against you. It knows. It's like, do I really need that? No, I need it like I need a boat anchor in my pocket. Well, I'll just take one of the small ones. They're all the same size. No, I'm just going to tell myself it's small. I'm doing it anyways, right? I mean, just the body is just, give me what I want. And when people are whole out given to that, and you hear stories about people robbing from their own mother, and people, I mean, drug addicts getting in their own mother's purses, breaking their own family members' houses to buy or to get stuff that they could sell to buy the things that they need. Oh, that's terrible. These people, they have a real problem with the flesh. I mean, it's a struggle. It's got them wrapped up. They're trapped. They're a prisoner in their own self. You got to get them to the spiritual side to fight that thing. So understanding about ourselves, boy, sure can help us a whole lot, understanding how the Lord has made us. So verse 27, the Bible says, so God created man in His own image. We didn't create ourselves. David says in the Psalms, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. It's so basic. It's so simple. We haven't created ourselves. Therefore, we're not determining our own destiny. God has done those things. We either have the option to choose Him or choose our own way and go in the way of destruction. It's always the same. We have that choice. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And then the end of verse 27, that's where we're stuck today. It's incredible. Male and female created He them. I'll be the first to say there's confused people in the world because they're there. I'm not going to close my eyes and pretend they're not there. They are there. They're because they've received bad teaching. They're there because they've received people influencing to do certain things. Anything else is confusion. anything else other than what God's put down here is confusion. And the devil is doubling and tripling down on that. If God has said one thing, he wants to confuse that. He'll make as many versions of whatever he can to get you to try to believe that or get the next group to believe it. It's all about the young people, right? It's all about the young people. We get this whole generation of young people to buy into this thing. You can be whatever you want to be, and you are whatever you think you are, not what God's made you to be. We'll lose them. Gone. We'll be fine because we get it. We know it. We're taught those things. But man, if this group of young people misses it, oh my soul, buys into any of this stuff, well, you know, I don't know. Man, I don't know. It looks like a girl, right? Male and female. And it's not a cruel thing. It's just showing them the truth. Look, this is what God has done. Cruelty, right, is trying to convince somebody to go along with your narrative, to push that and have them be in confusion. You don't live in their body. You don't live it. You don't understand all the things that they go through. And it's true. There are some people that struggle with these things. The dearth of households in our nation that don't have men in them showing the young men to do manly things. There are effeminate men in the world. They're there. Personally, I struggle with that. I'm listening to the military. Do we drop our standards for our military so girls or guys that think they're girls can pass the standard? Now, I'm sure the Russians are doing that. I'm sure the Chinese are thinking about that. Let's adopt this policy. It's just insane to me. Stop making cars. You're killing the environment. And China, quit making stuff too because, oh yeah, we're going to do that. We'll get right on that. No, it's not happening. So what do we end up with? Military? I mean, Brother Don, when I want a linebacker, I want him like 6'4", 240. I want him, well, he's got his bowl of Wheaties, but there's only like a quarter Wheaties and the rest is iron, you know, and raw meat. And I'm just like, yeah, that's what I want. Oh, you know, I don't know. I like football. It's like, oh, Lord, I want a machine. That's what you're looking for. You know, and hey, you don't have to play football. I was telling Trey and Nisi, when fall comes around, I use a little few football illustrations. Just forgive me, but it's just the way it goes. God created man in his image. Wants you to look like a man. Created females. Wants you to look like a female. I mean, I get it. Both my sisters are officers. They're armed. They stop people. They pull people over. They do. I get it. I know it. It's all around me, right? But they look like ladies and out of uniform and in uniform. They conduct themselves that way. I don't have to guess. There's nobody will walk up behind me like, no, I don't know. Not that way. When I was preaching in prison, there were a lot of ladies that get out of the military stuff, and they went, they worked in prison. They were guards in prison. They were tough-looking ladies. Some of them look like ladies, and some of them look tough. Well, just say it. They look tough. And it's just not how God made two sexes, male and female, created he them. There's some people who want to just stick it in the eye of God and say, no, I'm doing my own thing. All right. You're going to live confused. You're going to live a hurt life. You're going to live a hurt life. And again, like we're talking about this morning, we got to love people. We got to love them. If it goes against, look, if it goes against what you believe, it's not against you. You can't take these things. I mean, this is God's book. It's God's son that died on the cross. Not your own person. He's mine. He's all mine. Anybody that says anything or does anything against him, I'm against that person. Be against the evil. Be against the sin. But you've got to be for the people. That's who God asked us to come and help. If Jesus came down, those are the ones he would go and help. Oh, no, he'd be coming and preaching in our church. No, he wouldn't. He would go and help these people. They're the ones in need of the physician. They're the ones whose hearts are sick. They're the ones whose spirits are busted. He says, I'm going to bind them up. Just like the book says, he's going to be consistent with his own word. He's going to do that. God blessed them. Nobody else gets blessed. Nobody's blessing. God's not blessing the homosexual marriage. Not happening. I was talking to somebody in I almost did this, but I just to make a point of it in couples retreat. is ask people. I said, if two guys walked in pretending to be a couple and showed up at our couples retreat because they heard there was a couples retreat, I said, will we be okay? Because I'd be okay. Because I'd want them to see what it is. It'd be tough. It wouldn't be easy. You'd look at it and be like, oh, my soul, it's so you. When I see stuff, it drives me crazy. I get gross. All those things, okay? But you're supposed to, right? Where you get inoculated to those things and you don't blush anymore and you get to the place where it's like, oh, it's, you know, abortion. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's people dying. It's murder. I mean, it's those things. When we're so inundated with those things, we become numb to it. It's not good. But on the flip side, look, they're making this choice. I've made my choice to follow Christ. I mean, I want to help them. Now I'm talking I'm just talking about some people that were genuine. Now, if people wanted to show up and be disruptive, that kind of thing, it'd be a whole different story. But somebody who's genuine said, look, right here, verse 28. God blessed them. You show me where God's blessed anything else according to a union? Anywhere? God blessed it? Anywhere? He's got whole sections in Exodus talking about men lying with mankind and lying with animals and all those. After they did those things, he said they should be stoned and burned. He didn't bless them. Don't you want God's blessing? God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? Every time I see a big busload of people going down the road and it looks like mom and dad and the kids are saying, yeah, I think like everybody else, like Mormon family. No, maybe not. Could be missionaries. Who knows? But all I know is this. They're multiplying, right? Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish. And again, we talked about the stewardship, right? You have your young people and you just teach them just like, I mean, you said, look, this is our stewardship. This is God's given us talents and this is what we're to be have stewardship over. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree, verse 29, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. We talked about the last week, I think all the young people helped us with our seeds and different things, how the seed was in itself to reproduce. God says, given it all to you for meat. To every beast and every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Right? It's interesting to imagine a big animal like a cat or a bear or something just eating green stuff. But they do. They still do today. Young people seeing dogs eating grass? Have you seen, as you watch the pictures, when the bears come out of the den, they go look for grass. They're all denned up on the south-facing slopes because the sun hits them first. And then they come out and they're looking for anything to eat. And they're going through the avalanche slides and hoping for one of those sheep that fell off. And they got a smorgasbord all in one shot there. But a lot of them, they're just eating grass. They're doing those things. Why is that? Why would that be? That's part of God's plan. The part about how God made them to be. The Bible says, verse 31, we'll be done. God saw everything that He made. That He made. Well, how do you know He made it? I'm just, again, Hebrews 11 tells me I don't have to prove that He did. I just need to believe that He did. Well, that's really easy to do. It isn't for some people because they don't. It isn't. They have to think, well, it couldn't be this simple. It couldn't be that there's something out there that did this and spoke everything into being. But it continues today. And He even makes so bold a claim that He makes all things consist. I'm going with that. He talked about atoms before I knew about them, and you get things under a microscope, and it blow your mind. You ever look under a microscope, but things are really small. Looking at cells and looking at, I told people when I took freshwater invertebrate zoology and entomology in college. I was like, man, if this thing was 10 feet long, it'd be the scariest animal on this planet. Some of the bugs that God made, I said, I know where all the alien movie creatures have come from. They put the growth serum on this stuff, and they're just like, oh, my soul. Dragonfly odonate larva. They're about this long. And easily a third of their body's just their two pincers on the front of their face. Got spikes on them. They kill fish and eat them. They're a bug. It grosses me out because I'm just like, ugh, fish are supposed to eat fish, not bugs. I said, that's disgusting. To lose your life as a fish to a bug. You eat bugs. This thing is scary. Just like, whoosh, you know, and it just comes along and pisses them, eat them. God made it. It's incredible. Then they get a little bit bigger, and then they grow, and they come on top of the water, and then they sprout their wings, and out they go. It's amazing. He made those things. He filled all spaces. You go anywhere on this planet, and look, God has filled a niche, a biological habitat, a biome, whatever. He's put things there. And we think we're smart, we haven't even found them all yet. And I'm for, again, being the steward and taking care of these things. Very important that we take care of what God has made for us. But we're not trying to preserve things or trying to get the earth back to the way that it was. We're trying to use it to help us. That's God's plan for it. God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Hopefully next Sunday, if we have time, we'll get into Adam showing up and say, well, why are we going through these things? We'll battle whatever. From Monday till this time next week, you're going to hear the exact opposite. You just showed up. You're your own person. You can be what you want to be. What do you feel like being? Are you important? Should we cancel you because of how you think? All these things. What a mess. What a mess. And you get grounded. I had this thought this week. If it wasn't for God giving us liberty, where would you have it? Where would it come from? Oh, I like liberty. I like freedom. Well, where does it come from? Where was anything to even say that you could have it, or the words even used? It's in my Bible. It's in my Bible. But if you took America and you weren't here, right? And you were just somewhere else, all you had was that Bible. Say, well, what guarantees your liberty? It's the Bible. And there's some people that struggle with even that. Say, that we shouldn't be free. It's craziness. Why do you do that? Because God's made us, and He's given us freedom. Freedom! Oh, it's crazy. It's becoming a dirty word to some. It's amazing. But we're not going to stop. We're going to continue to love God and preach His Word. So let's stand tonight. And we'll sing our song of invitation tonight. Pass me not, O gentle Saviors, 281 tonight. Altars are open if you need to come. 281 tonight.